Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Make sure you never miss a minute of the show. You can zoom through, check out any topics you might have missed. I know all of you are busy out there. We appreciate all the 450-plus affiliate stations in all 50 states, including state of Florida, where I'm broadcasting from today down in Jacksonville, going to the Alabama-Florida game tomorrow with the Outkick bus tour. Be doing a college football pregame show on the Big Fox Network. Steve Spurrier. Do you know Steve Spurrier at all, Buck? You know that name? Steve Spurrier is probably one of the, well, I would say one of the five most famous Southeastern Conference football coaches of all time, one of the most famous college football coaches ever. Florida Gator legend, also coached at South Carolina and Duke as a head coach during his time. He's going to be on with me tomorrow. We should have a lot of fun there. And, you know, it's Friday, so Buck and I were talking about a topic that has gotten a lot of attention in general. And that is certainly the division that exists between red state and blue state America right now. And for most of our lives, I would say there's never been a more substantial division between red state and blue state America. And that doesn't mean that we haven't always had disagreements. There have been a lot of times where there have been many major issues that existed, but I'm not sure there's ever been a time when people who live in red states, like me, I live in Tennessee, spend a lot of time in Florida, Texas, the red state governors where mostly freedom has triumphed. And then Buck, who is a New York City native, is a blue state guy, even though he's got red state sentiments, and there have been complete lockdowns that have been going on in New York City. Certainly, I just posted a video of San Francisco's mayor outdoing what left-wing mayors and governors have been doing throughout the pandemic, which is flouting their own rules and breaking them like crazy when it comes to masks and the number of people that you can be around and all those things. But I know that Rush talked about this a little bit in some of his shows, and certainly it is a topic that has been getting a lot of attention. And Sarah Silverman is a comedian, but she brought it up recently, and I want you to listen to this audio, and then Buck and I are going to kind of debate and discuss it, because I do think it's really gotten fascinating, and it's something that you may be talking about with your friends and family. Does it make sense for all 50 states, given our divisions right now? Is this like a divorce? Are we headed towards a divorce? Listen to Sarah Silverman.
If people aren't getting along, like in relationship, they break up, you know? So like, why don't we just finally just realize that these states aren't working and like divide up into like two or three countries of like USA 1 and USA 2. And they can be USA 1. Like the conservatives can be USA 1 because they love being number one and it means something to them. And I'd love to have that be theirs. They can be USA 1, we'll be USA 2, and we'll be allies. And you'll come over here and we'll go over there. And many times when you go to a different country, you have to get a vaccine. That's it.
So this is really funny. Like this is, she's talking about it in a funny way, obviously. And you know this, Buck, because I'm a Civil War history nerd. This, we actually tried this back in the 1860s. This was the idea that the South would have its own country and the North would have its own country. And ironically enough, even 140 years-ish after the Civil War, we still kind of are breaking down in many of the same ways, right? Well, the South is the red states and the North is the blue states.
Here's what's actually happening, right? I mean, people talk about this like, oh my gosh, and It's not really, oh, you know, the Texas secession movement or the Alaska secession movement. Forget about secession. What you do have is polarization and consolidation going on. That's actually occurring in real time. People are referring to them sometimes. I've just seen this as refugees, like left-wing refugees or from left-wing states.
Yes.
And it's very clear. I mean, the Census Bureau data, the most recent Census Bureau data we have, says that people are leaving. Right now, I know everyone's saying, or they're going through in their head, California, New York, New Jersey, Michigan. total blue dominated state.
And the Chicago They're leaving. Area, Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois is high up on the list too, but those were actually the top five. And the top five states that are getting people coming in, Clay's going to do a little bow here, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, Arizona, did I say five? Ohio, actually, which is interesting. So here's what's happening. You are seeing people voting with their feet. Now, I actually think this isn't in many ways a healthy thing. It's a good thing that's going on. The only way that a governor, not Governor Newsom, unfortunately, thinks he's a hero now, but the only way that a state like California realizes it's too far left is if the tax base, a lot of middle class folks, a lot of good people start to leave and it hurts them in the pocketbook. The problem, Clay, is that the system is supposed to work where we have all these states where people can have some freedoms protected, we have federalism, right? You talk about this a lot on the show. But because of the federal government, with both its overreach as it pertains to laws and regulations, we see this most notably with the mandates, but also all the ways the federal government will step in and fund what's going on in these blue states, it does a sort of short-circuiting of the mechanisms of correction for poor governance in blue states. Because the outflow of people is real. They can't argue with that. But as long as they can be, as long as they can bring in, by the way, a lot of illegal immigrants in the labor pool, which they do in New York and California particularly, as long as they have federal dollars coming in and federal rules and regulations, they can prop up the blue states and continue to annoy the you-know-what out of people in the red states, which is what's going on.
Yeah, and look, I think the big story of COVID, and you kind of hit on this a little bit, is the red states are becoming redder and the blue states are becoming bluer. And where I live, Buck, I'll tell you this, this is a massive topic of conversation. And I know there's a lot of people in Texas and Florida. We've already seen it in Georgia, North Carolina. There's a fear that the people that are coming in from the coast are going, that they're like locusts and they've destroyed where they live and they're going to relocate to new states that are bastions of freedom and turn them purple or bring their failed liberal politics to those states, continue to vote the way that they were, and eventually to destroy those states too. This is a big topic where people ask all the time. In my neighborhood, for instance, in my city, and certainly in my state, hey, did you come here because it's a red state, or did you come here in spite of it being a red state? And most people that I'm talking to now are moving because it's a red state, and they're fed up with what's going on in blue state America.
But this is like my
fear is out there.
My older brother who moves to Florida is now he's now a permanent. He's got his Florida driver's license, Florida resident. After being a lifelong New Yorker, he says he's at the gun store. One of the first places. This is what happens, by the way.
Yes.
Conservative blue staters go to a red state. And they're like, wait, I could just go into a store and buy a gun and then take it to a range, which will be accessible and like friendly and nice and a good, you know, cause in New York City, they make the gun. There's only one gun range here and it's meant to be as depressing as possible in New York City. And you can only fire a .22 rifle. There's all kinds of, you know, unless you have a handgun permit, which is impossible to get. He goes into the gun store in Florida and the guy selling the gun just like, all right, but. Because he sees he's changing, you know, he's had a recent change of address. He's like, just make sure you vote the right way.
Yeah.
and by the way, he did not mean vote for Joe Biden.
Yes.
So this is a real phenomenon that plays out.
We should mention this, by the way, too. The data was out. 50% of people buying guns now are women. That's a pretty staggering.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Isn't
that is
it
amazing.
Kind of a crazy difference in terms of, at least I think stereotypically, when you think, okay, who's going to be registering and buying guns right now? The fact that we've now hit 50% for women, I think it speaks to the defund the police movement. I think it speaks to a lot of boyfriends and husbands out there that are like, hey, you may have been able to rely on the police in the past, but with crime surging, I want to take you to the gun range. I want you to learn how to use a gun. Buck, you'll appreciate this. My wife recently and her girlfriends, they did a girl's date where they went to the gun range and fired weapons. All girls, you know, girls' night out. They all went and fired weapons. And these are people who are not, you know, like I was born in the South. I think most Southerners in some way are raised at least somewhat comfortable around guns when you're a kid. My wife was not raised that way. But all these women, I think the fear of the rising crime rate has made gun ownership and gun range trips much more of a normal act, at least in red state America.
Yeah, well, I think that what you're seeing right now also with the COVID rules that have been implemented. I mean, it's absolutely true about firearms. And by the way, firearms have become such a huge cultural signifier in blue states. Knowing nothing about guns and never having fired a gun is often very closely correlated with somebody. With somebody who also is the most anti-gun, pro-gun control, terrified of guns, the whole thing. So ignorance is a badge of honor about the Second Amendment for liberals, for libs. But also with all the COVID rules and regulations you're seeing, it's a reminder. I think people had started to lose a sense of your governor really does matter. Your state government can really make a difference in your life. It's not just, we're all Americans, so we're all paying the same federal income tax and the federal government makes all these determinations. Unfortunately, the federal government does far too much, but at least if you're in a state, you have a fighting chance. And this is why Texas, Florida, people are moving to these places and making essentially the most powerful vote you can other than at the ballot box, which is where are you going to live? Where are you going to pay taxes as an American? And I mean, look, I had somebody just earlier this week saying she's a friend of mine from media. She's looking for a house to move permanently into Texas. I have yet to find anybody with a family, come across anybody with a family who's saying, you know what I want to do right now? I want to move to Los Angeles and get some of that Gavin Newsom Garcetti magic. You know, I really want to try that.
You know what's interesting, Buck? Federalism has never been more important, I don't think, in any of our lives than during COVID. Without Republican governors holding the line on freedom, on remaining open, on fighting lockdowns, I really think there's a good chance we'd be Canada or even worse, Australia, if Joe Biden and Dr. Fauci had their way right now.
Rough greens, my friends. The testimonials keep coming in. This is from Margaret in Altamont, New York. Both of our dogs love Rough Greens from the very beginning. They finish everything and then lick their bowls clean. They seem to have more energy also. We're really impressed. Look, my Frenchie Tallulah, the family dog, licks the bowl clean whenever there's Rough Greens in there. She's got more energy and her tummy's a little more settled, which is really important for dogs. Look, Rough Greens has vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants, stuff that your dog needs and doesn't get from typical dog food. But you don't have to change your dog food. That's the great thing. You just add Rough Greens into your existing dog food. It's like a dog food supplement. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They've got a special deal for you, our listeners. Go to roughgreens.com/clayandbuck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. That's Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/clayandbuck, roughgreens.com/clayandbuck.
Sometimes you get libs who will say things that are true, and we will highlight them here on the show. Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. I've done the Bill Maher show a few times. I will say Bill is an interesting guy and occasionally will break with the left on an issue where he does get legitimate heat. He's a man of the left, but he can be willing to break with the orthodoxy, which makes for interesting conversation from time to time. Here's a moment of particularly poignant honesty, given what's going on in the country right now. And here's what you need to know. The left is, and Democrats by the left, I mean, terrified of COVID in a way that is irrational. I'm not talking about people who are at high risk, who are in a community with high levels of spread and didn't have access to the vaccines or something. That was an anxiety that I could totally understand. I know it. I had people in my own family that were very concerned, who were at risk. No, Bill Maher's talking about the exaggerated risk in the minds of Democrats who think they're so well informed. They're 30 or 40x the rate of hospitalization in their minds, the risk of hospitalization that they actually are. The numbers don't lie when you look at the polling. And Maher called this out. I think he was on Jimmy Kimmel's show discussing this. And here's how it went.
I have to cite a survey that was in the New York Times, which is a liberal paper, so they weren't looking for this answer. But they were talking about, the question was, what do you think the chances are that you would have to go to the hospital if you got COVID? And Democrats thought that was way higher than Republicans. 70% of Democrats thought it was way, way, way higher than it really was. Liberal media has to take a little responsibility for that, for scaring the out of people. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's much harder for every touring act to sell tickets in blue states.
This is a real thing, Clay. Blue states think it's not just a virtue signaling thing now. They really believe that ultra caution, even for those at low risk, is still warranted, which is hurting businesses and hurting people's lives.
The worst thing that has happened to media, and this can go across the board, is anecdote-based, what I call fear porn. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. If you get onto Facebook, get onto Twitter, get onto Instagram, Snapchat, whatever social media device you use, or you watch CNN and MSNBC, they will find the one 25-year-old who's hospitalized, and they'll put a picture up. They'll do a story for them. And we have allowed our media to be almost entirely driven by anecdote as opposed to overarching data. And this is important, Buck, as you well know, because whatever you believe, there is an individual story that can make it seem like a reality. And what's happened with COVID is, there, what Bill Maher was hitting is completely true. People who are under no risk, people who are more likely to die in car accidents or be murdered, are terrified to go outside of their house because of COVID. And they are terrified because they watch MSNBC and because they watch CNN. And this has real consequences because the politicians allow that fear porn, as I call it, to drive their overall agendas as politicians. They're not leading. They're following in the wake of that fear. And you can tell they don't believe it themselves, Buck. And we're going to talk about this.
Oh, we've got another example.
We got another Democrat.
It's always Democrats because they're the ones that dive into this stuff and pretend to be so holier than thou about their masks and their mandates. Yeah. And then they act like, oh, you know, nobody's perfect. Mask up, peasants, double mask. They never change based upon even the exposure of their hypocrisy. And it's because, Clay, I believe at some level, the hypocrisy is part of the fun, that they actually enjoy, well, I'm going to make all the peasants, all the people out there obey these mandates.
It's a great psychological question.
And I'm not going to have to do it because I'm important. I mean, this is like the Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done, Gavin Newsom at French Laundry, Gretchen Whitmer's husband saying, can I get my boat launched out sooner during COVID lockdowns because my wife is the governor, right? All this stuff that you see, the mayor Bowser of D.C., indoor, no masks, after putting the mask mandate in place.
Yes.
We got another one of these, which you're going to tell everybody. This one's great.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it when we come back and kind of break down why the hypocrisy isn't resonating for Democrats and why it exists. We'll do that when we come back. You're going to be blown away. No, you're not. You're going to be completely expecting it for it to happen, but you're still going to enjoy it. In the meantime, MyPillow products changed our sleep for the better, and now they've changed our feet for the better with my slippers. Mike Lindell took 2 years to develop these slippers. I wear them. My wife, I can't even get them off her feet everywhere in the house. You know what? My seven-year-old, today's his birthday. Happy birthday. He wanted his own pair of my slippers. He saw my wife wearing them everywhere. He got his own pair, and he's wearing them everywhere, too. And you can get 50% off my slippers right now if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, use promo code Clay and Buck. 1 year warranty on the slippers. When does that ever happen? And a 60-day money-back guarantee. Lots of other specials and discounts on their website. My family loves this. Your family will, too. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269. They're fabulous. Get your own My Slippers today. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, Friday edition. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we power you into the weekend. I'm down in the free state of Florida, oasis of freedom, as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has described it. Buck up in New York City, lockdown. I'm surprised he can even do the radio show without wearing four masks right now, based on the way Bill de Blasio continues to restrict everything there.
I'm going to put goggles on.
You might need a full hazmat suit to do the show pretty soon. But you know what? I bet Bill de Blasio is not actually wearing a mask anytime that he is aware that there aren't cameras present. And this level of hypocrisy, we had Gavin Newsom at French Laundry. We had Gretchen Whitmer traveling to Florida, her husband trying to get the boat out when nobody else was allowed to get their boat out. Muriel Bowser, the mayor of New York City, the mayor of Washington, D.C., is at a wedding. All of these different Democratic mayors, governors, people in positions of power continuing to flout the rules of COVID that they are attempting to put in place for others. And we've got the latest Democratic Party hypocrite underway. I tweeted out the video. Buck, you have seen it. It is echoing throughout social media. First of all, the day after Gavin Newsom wins the recall vote, LA County comes out and basically mandates vaccines everywhere. The timing on this is crazy. But within a day or two of Gavin Newsom winning, London Breed, who is the mayor of San Francisco, caught on camera out with one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, celebrating indoors, karaokeing, playing along with a band. The amount of hypocrisy as it pertains to masking and COVID requirements that have existed from Democratic politicians. And Buck, you asked a question. I think it's a good one. I think what we're seeing here is all of these Democrat leaders, they see the data, but they understand that their base is so terrified of COVID that they're not willing to stand up and actually talk about the data. The choices they make in their own lives. Remember, Gavin Newsom's kids were going to private school. Shows you what they really think as opposed to what they
Clay,
say publicly.
How do you come down off the ledge in a sense here, right?
Yes.
If you've convinced people, I mean, I like my Shark Attack analogy.
Yeah.
But if you've convinced people that just the first time you put your foot in the water at the beach, you're probably going to have Jaws come along and rip it off. And they actually think that. And you make them think it for a long time. It's never going to be a good moment when you have to say to them, yeah, turns out that's not how it goes. Turns out you probably didn't have to be terrified of going in the ocean this whole time. And so because they've created what I would say is a mass hysteria. I mean, for me now in New York City, Clay, and you know, you're just talking to me and one of our producers here about this. People are walking around in pretty considerable numbers. I mean, it would be anecdotal for me to say, but I can tell you walking from where I live to the studio, not a long distance, I will see at least a few dozen people outside with masks on.
What percentage would it be that you see on the sidewalks wearing a mask in New York right now?
Are you saying what percentage?
Yeah, roughly.
I want to say 15 to 20%, okay. Something
so
like that.
So it's still a minority, but so it's not a minority. Insubstantial number of people.
But Clay, at this point, if you're wearing a mask outside, you're definitely vaccinated. And second of all, you probably know about the CDC saying it doesn't really spread outside. Wearing a mask outdoors in America today for COVID is just a sign of an anxiety disorder. It's like somebody who's, it's like agoraphobia. It's somebody who's afraid to go out into public spaces or something. It has become a mental disorder that's on full display for everybody. And to your point about London Breed and the others, I think that there are prominent, that a lot of these prominent Democrat politicians, and they know this.
Yes.
But they don't want to ever turn around, face their constituents and say, you know how we've demonized all the anti-mask people and demonized those who ask questions, all that? They may have a point. They'll never want to do that because it will be a slap in the face. It'll be offensive. If you've been double masking this whole time, do you remember there are people who were bragging about how, like, I haven't left my house in 18 months.
As if it were a sign of strength.
And then you find out, you're like, well, how old are you? Like, I'm 25 years old. And you're like, why won't you leave your house because of COVID at 25? I mean, unless you're born without an immune system, that feels like a pretty weird move. London Breed, by the way, hypocrisy. Do you think this will cost her? She's unmasked, singing and dancing with a totally unmasked crowd in direct violation of San Francisco order. Nobody in San Francisco. It's not only, Clay, that we'll make fun of this as we should. The people of San Francisco will convince themselves, okay, well, nobody's perfect.
It
at least she's on.
A sophisticated, educated crowd.
Well, no, but it's not just that. Yeah. She's on the right side of the issue by making all the peasants mask up, so we'll excuse it.
Well, remember the CNN. I mean, I still love that. When Obama threw his party and had a massive crowd and then ended up, you know, uninviting a few people, nobody, Dr. Fauci, came out and said this is a really bad idea to be doing if you're going to be following the CDC guidelines. And the London Breed situation, remember, Obama was defended by that CNN commentator who said, well, it's an educated, sophisticated crowd, right? So as if, oh, the virus, it was like going to impact them. And then it was like, oh, wait, these people, they still remember some of the lines from Hamlet. They're going to be fine. You know, they're fantastic. And so the hypocrisy, to me, the essence of whether you can trust someone or not, and there's obviously a lot of different versions of this, is do they live the same life privately that they claim to live publicly? And look, I'm going to be on the road, Buck, for the Alabama-Florida game. I can't wait. I'm going to be out in crowded bars. There are going to be pictures of me with our listeners, with college football fans, all over social media. Nobody's going to be able to say, oh, my God, look at Clay Travis. He doesn't have a mask on. Because I'm telling all of you exactly what I believe, which is I'm not at risk. I'm going to live my life normally. To me, that's the ultimate test, right? Are you living the same life privately that you claim to live publicly? And what we're seeing exposed very often on the Democratic side of the equation, particularly with COVID, is how many people are claiming to be on one side of an issue, and then in their own lives, with their own lives at stake, with their own life choices, whether it's their kids in school, how many Democratic politicians put their kids in schools with private schools when they didn't let the average person out there, kids, go to school. Yeah,
this has been true.
It's unbelievable. Yes.
This has been true for the entirety of the pandemic. By the way, it's true of a lot of Democrat policy positions. You see this with climate change is another one, which I believe is a religion replacement for leftists. I think actually Fauciism has become at some level a religion replacement, a kind of existential identity tribalism for people now. You know, you in Fauci we trust is what a lot of Democrats think about this entire pandemic, and that's their motto. But they want things, you know, whether it's higher taxes, climate change, any number of things. Even in some cases, gun control, by the way, you'll have prominent celebrities who'll be anti-gun. And then you'll find out this was a big thing in New York City. Well, they got a concealed carry permit because they were scared for
their
safety.
Or their security staff does.
Or their security is armed up. But they don't want other people to have that. You know, it's about the idea for everybody else that makes them as individuals feel good. And they never want to connect the individual reality or rejection as an individual of these policies with what they want for everybody else. Absolutely true for COVID. London Breed, the same. Mario Bowser, Gavin Newsom. I mean, you go down the list, all these Democrats, very fraudulent on this issue. But, you know, the vax passport situation, there's some cause for, I don't know if it, I can't say it makes me happy, but at least there are places, Clay, and there's some numbers on this we're starting to see that are refusing in New York City to do this.
I saw it. I think that's fantastic.
We should get into where they're refusing and where they're not and how this is going, because my belief, first of all, the top of the list for me would be if we could just get airline attendants to stop acting like, you know, Stalinist prison guards on airplanes about masks. Nobody cares if the mask falls below my nose. No normal human, anyone who has a problem with that is a moron, okay? Nobody cares. But the airline attendant will come on, excuse me, sir, excuse me, put the mask up. They're crazy. And I'm sorry, I do not buy this thing that it's because other people will complain. It's dark. I'm taking a nap. Nobody can even see me. We can pretend that I'm eating my peanuts really slowly.
You're eating and drinking. It's nonsensical at an epic
level. Whole thing is idiotic. And I'll tell you, it's worse on planes than it is anywhere else. And I think it's just because everyone's also just so used to being beaten down by the general discomfort and lack of customer service to deal with airlines. But anyway, we'll come into what they're doing in New York City with all this. And plus, we've got Alex Berenson, which is exciting for us because he's kicked off of Twitter.
He's everywhere. And he's almost banned everywhere.
Here's what you may not know. Elizabeth Warren, she actually tried to get his book booted. This is a sitting U.S. senator wanted his book booted off of Amazon. Because that's what an intellectual she is. She believes in digital book burning, so to speak. We'll come into that in a moment. But if your cell phone service is with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, you are paying too much every month. That's for sure. Pure Talk is your best bet for a lot less money every month. Going to save you cash. Now, Pure Talk is on the exact same network, using same towers as one of those big cell carriers, but you're paying far less money for it. That's because they work directly with you and pass those savings to you. You won't see Pure Talk stores on every corner or their names on football stadiums. Instead, Pure Talk has hundreds and hundreds of customer service staff working all here in the U.S., Clay, helping people switch their service every day and saving lots of cash.
Up to $800 a year. Coming up on the end of the year, how much difference could $50, $60, or $70 a month mean to you and your family? And how great would it be to have, for $30 a month, unlimited talk, text, and 5 gigs of data? 6 gigs of data. My bad. That's what my son has right now. He's 13 years old. He just got his first phone, and we got him a Pure Talk wireless phone, iPhone 12. Absolutely easy to switch. If you already have a phone, you can keep your same number. Here's what you need to do. Listen to me. Risk-free 30-day offer. You get a full refund if you're not satisfied. While you're listening to me, you can save some money. Grab your phones right now. Dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. Incredibly easy to do. Can save you up to $800 a year. #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Do it today. #250. Say Pure Talk. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are going to be joined by Alex Berenson at the top of the third hour to break down all of the latest COVID data. His data made people at Twitter so uncomfortable that they banned him. And Buck, what's amazing is he's about a month ahead of wherever the overall consensus goes. I remember when we were doing the show in New York City and we had him come in studio with us. He said, man, you know, all the data is reflecting that Israel is going to need a booster shot. And they're going to try to argue that that's still what's going to happen. That was long before anybody was talking about booster shots. And that's one of the reasons why he got banned on Twitter. If you go back and look at everything that he said, he's been a month, 6 weeks, 2 months ahead of where the consensus opinion is. So I'm genuinely curious to get him on with us and see what he believes the data is telling us going forward.
You even hear the Biden administration now referring to officials from the administration referring to the Israeli data because they recognize that it is more granular, more precise, more transparent, and about 3 months ahead of our own trends and data in terms of the vaccination timeline. So it was always something that should have been looked at as a signpost of where we were going, but the Biden administration was hoping that whatever it was going to be a different situation. You know, Clay, I'd mentioned the enforcement that's going on here. The enforcement that's going on at restaurants in New York City.
Yes.
So in New York right now, it is in effect that by order of the mayor's office, under the health authority, you know, in the city, whatever, you have to show a vaccine passport, basically a piece of paper or a photo of the piece of paper to go inside. And what you're finding is the enforcement of this is highly uneven. And in general, I'd say more high profile and expensive establishments seem to be enforcing it, which is interesting because you already have some class dynamics playing out here. But, you know, the local burger chain maybe doesn't check, or the local burger joint, but, you know, Shea Fancy is actually checking. New York Post had this this piece out today. Most of the 15 Manhattan restaurants visited by folks who are undercover, in a sense, this week, not enforcing it. 4 out of 15 restaurants asked reporters for ID along with proof of vaccination before seating them. Oh, I'm sorry. This was actually Inside Edition that did this, the New York Post reporting on it. But I would say,
in your experience,
higher. You end up, I think it's about a 50-50 proposition. And remember, a lot of places have outdoor dining still in New York as an option. When this is going to get really annoying is when it gets freezing outside, and now you're not going to want to be outside. And then they're going to say, you can either show me your vaccine papers or go freeze your butt off. I went to dinner, Clay, in January of 2021, because it's a long story, but they had like the little heater thing, and I had 3 layers and a coat and everything. If it's 20 degrees outside and you're outdoors eating, you're going to freeze your butt off. I don't care. Unless they have a heating system, it doesn't, you know, it felt like I was ice fishing, except that probably would be more comfortable.
So what you're telling me is whenever I'm back in New York,
Yeah, I'm going to be sitting out there with you building a little fire, freezing our butts off.
And that's if they'll serve me even outdoors. Because I think the crazy thing will be if they are continuing to enforce the vaccine mandate, even when it's 15 degrees outside in some New York bubble street dinner location. And I kind of find it to be entertaining, the idea of walking around and just seeing how common the vaccine passport check is going to be. Because obviously I've never been asked where I live. And certainly it's not happening at SEC football stadiums or at SEC bars or anywhere else all over red state America where I'm going to watch football games. And so it's going to be, I'm kind of entertained by it on some level.
It's also fascinating. First of all, I see a fair number of people who are out on bicycles, who have their helmet in their hand, but their mask on their face,
which I think is amazing. Yeah.
You see this in New York. Like, yeah, I don't feel like wearing my helmet today. The mask, though, while I bicycle, that I've got to wear. So that's going on. And then there are other places you go into here. And look, it's the same in L.A. now. I spoke to a friend of mine in L.A. earlier this week. Same deal they've got going on where, you know, they've got the mandate in place now. You got to get vaxxed. But some places have a mask mandate indoors just because, and they don't check your vax papers. Other places, vax papers, no mask mandate. Other places, nothing. Some places, both.
How long does this last?
Well, just because, think about it. You're coming into contact with people that are in all these different environments and mixing together in one way or another. So are you really safe because you go into the one bar that doesn't, you know, you're going to not mask in one place, but you're going to mask in another place? It just doesn't make any sense.
And also, again, how does it ever end? To your point earlier, making fun of London Breed, people won't acknowledge that they were wrong. How are they ever going to allow this to end?
We have to make Fauci like king of his own country and give him like $1 billion and make him go away.
Maybe
it never ends.
Two separate states.
The little tyrant goes away. You know, Fauci is going to have to become a country.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.